You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
This is Titletown Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, squirrel whisperer.
Your squirrel-naming game is not strong.
The turd cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Welcome to episode 92 of Titletown Sound, the Reggie White edition, but also, it's an Aaron Ripkowski edition of the show. Just for you guys, James and Chris. I know Sunday was a big day for you.
Give me a minute. Okay, thanks.
All right. So welcome again, episode 92. Bobo is here, and of course, here with me, the best Jenga player that I know, James Korsmo. James, how are you today?
You have to take the ones from the middle first. If you take the outside ones, that's where it all goes wrong. Mm-hmm. It's like an Oreo cookie, except with things that are fall on you and hurt your toes.
Yeah, those double stuffs will hurt, though.
Well, they will. They'll kill your insulin levels.
True. Also here is a guy who sunk my battleship, Chris Christofko. Chris, how are you tonight?
But you said you liked that.
Not on the air. And I am, of course, Bobo, am a living, breathing game of Mad Gabs. On this week's show, James and I will discuss Wrestle Kingdom 12's main event between Kaz Okada and Kenny Omega. James and Chris will debate whether cheeseburgers are an acceptable topping for a pizza. I don't know who's taking the anti on that, but there you go. And Jeremy does his incredible impression of the Invisible Man.
We miss you, Jeremy. We miss you.
But first things first, we are introducing a new segment for the show. Every week, one of our hosts will sound off on an issue facing the Packers or the NFL. We hope you enjoy the new sound off segment. Here it is.
It's time to sound off.
We've all heard the narrative. Aaron Rodgers isn't clutch. You've heard it too, no doubt. For years, those in the national media and Brett Favre loyalists have held on to the crazy notion that Rodgers can't perform when his team needs it the most. The prime example that Rodgers critics use is fourth quarter comebacks. Colin Cowherd, the blowhard national radio personality, is one of Rodgers' main detractors. He has claimed that even Tony Romo is more clutch than Rodgers because of the fourth quarter comeback stat. Now, I'll take this time to point out to Mr. Cowherd that Tony Romo lost his job to a rookie this year while Aaron Rodgers threw for 40 touchdowns. 40, with only 7 interceptions. Oh, add to the fact that Rodgers had a quarterback rating of 104.2, rushed for 4 touchdowns, and had a completion percentage of 65.7%, but he's not clutch, of course. Cowherd and his minions have claimed that Rodgers' lack of fourth quarter comebacks tell you all you need to know. Rodgers is a stat-padding quarterback who cannot come through when his team needs him most. Cowherd will tell you that Rodgers is only 7 for 27 in regular season games when the Packers trail entering the fourth quarter, and only 1 and 4 in playoff games entering the 2016 season. What Cowherd and others won't tell you is that the Sporting News, as they pointed out in an article published on June 8th of 2016, Rodgers is 70-9 in the regular season when the Packers enter the fourth quarter with a lead, and 6-2 in the playoffs. Here's the point. You can't have fourth quarter comebacks when you've done everything in your power to enter the fourth quarter with a lead. And that's what Rodgers does, time and time again. That fourth quarter comeback stat is even more flawed when you consider there are several situations in his career where Rodgers has actually worked to get a lead in the fourth quarter, only to have the defense let it slip away. Even if we want him to, Rodgers cannot play cornerback. But let's look beyond that flawed fourth quarter statistic and realize that clutch doesn't always mean performance in one 15-minute period of time. Rodgers was more clutch than just about any quarterback in the league when he found himself at the helm of a Packers team that was 4-6. When Rodgers told us that he believed the team could run the table, many of us scoffed. I scoffed. This wasn't because Rodgers isn't capable of putting a team on his shoulders. It was because we thought the flaws of this team were so significant that it would be impossible. But now, here we sit, with a Packers team that finished the regular season at 10-6, winning the NFC North. They have run the table. They did what we thought was impossible, and all of this was done because of Aaron Rodgers. For stretches of that run, Rodgers had no real running game. His cornerbacks were a collection of extras that didn't make the final cut for the Mos Eisley cantina scene in Star Wars Episode 4. His receivers included Jeff Janis. When it mattered most, Rodgers stepped up. He wasn't clutch for 15 minutes. He's been clutch for 6 entire games. That's 360 minutes. And during that 360 minutes, Rodgers has thrown for 1,667 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. None. Nada. Goose egg. That's tied for Matt Stafford's IQ. Rodgers willed his team to a playoff berth. He willed his team to an NFC North title again. Before you tell me that Aaron Rodgers isn't clutch, look at his whole body of work. Look at what he does over long stretches of time. Look at the reality that we may be watching the best quarterback to ever play this game.
There you go. If you have any comments or anything to add, please leave a comment on our website under the podcast post. Plenty of hot takes there, Chris. There was no shortage of shots taken there. Beautiful. On that note, I guess let's get into our usual routine. Not that that's going to be our usual routine now, but Green Bay winning again. Another game to be played. Packers overcoming a slow start to beat Detroit. And James, I'll throw it to you first. Your thoughts on the Packers getting this clutch win in Detroit once again. I guess, who do you chalk it up to? Do you chalk it up to an individual? Do you chalk it up to the whole team, a whole unit?
Aaron Rodgers.
Who do you give thanks to?
I don't want to harp. Like I hate beating a dead horse and just over and over and over again. But Aaron Rodgers put this team on his back. And he has carried them, and they've responded. It's not just his play. He's made everybody around him better. So I can't really attribute it to one person necessarily. However, I'm going to, because Aaron Ripkowski got 61 yards rushing, and you know, it took a team to drag him down every time. He caught a touchdown pass. He caught a touchdown pass, you guys. Did you see that? I saw it. It was pretty amazing. My mop bucket got used that day. It was fantastic. It was a bunch of factors against Detroit. The offense had a pretty pedestrian first half, but they came out guns blazing the second half, and they played fantastically. The defense, just the rush defense, looked okay. The pass defense looked horrible until, weirdly enough, they lost everybody. And they had 5 safeties playing in dime coverage. And Matt Stafford couldn't compute that because it was something else other than meat and fire. He couldn't understand what was happening in front of him.
Fire good.
Fire good. Sidearm bad. That's when, you know, Micah Hyde picks off the pass. And it was, other than that stupid Hail Mary at the end of the game, it was, it was a full team effort, and I gave Dom Capers so much crap during the game on Twitter, and then at the end of the game he pulled a rabbit out of his hat, and I still don't know how he did it with his personnel. So it was a team effort.
I was surprised. So with the slow start, the one thing that surprised me was there were a couple of plays where you thought that was their chance to turn it around, and they failed. And this game doesn't look good. Doesn't look like they're going to be able to pick it up. Like the pass that hit Clay Matthews in the hands, which looked like it could have very well been a pick six had he just held on to it. I thought, well, there's your turning point, and it didn't happen. We said last week on the podcast that this Packers team had to turn the ball over on defense if it wanted to be successful at all. And when they didn't do that, it was alarming. The fact that they were able to be resilient and come back on the road against a pretty decent team, I mean, hell, a playoff team, it's encouraging. We've seen a lot of those games where they start slow and they end slow, but they were able to pick it up, and at least for most of the second half, they looked damn good. And like you said, even with a secondary that was non-existent, they were starting the equipment manager, I think, in the fourth quarter. you know, they still got the job done against a very competent passing offense. So it's encouraging to see him overcome adversity like that. You just wonder who the hell's going to play in the secondary next week.
Yeah, I'm worried about that, but it is what it is. I guess the whole team as it came to they rallied, and it was something that it was something that I haven't seen in a while, where it was evident where their backs were up against the wall, and they were facing a huge obstacle with you know, Quentin Rollins being out, and I hope he's okay, not just for football but for him, and Demaryius Randall and the DeLorean 88 miles an hour and everybody else getting hurt. It was like they all came together at the end of the game and really started to play the way that they're supposed to play, and it was nice to see. And just think, if it hadn't been for a dropped pick six by you know, Mr. Hare, that could have been an even bigger win.
Indeed, and I'm just wondering when Detroit's finally going to give up on the. I believe you dubbed him the meathead, James Matthew Stafford.
He is the meathead. Don't get me wrong. I call him that, like 90% seriousness, but 10% in jest, because he is a good, decent NFL quarterback. He's not horrible. You know, he's probably the second. Well, he's definitely the second best in the NFC North, which isn't saying a whole lot. That's like saying I'm the second, you know, thinnest person in the room right now.
In this,
I don't
room,
know. I think that's saying something.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Green Bay beats Detroit. They get a number four seed. They're going to host the Giants, of course. Question for you. Was winning the division a strategic benefit? Chris, I'm going to throw that question to you first, because there apparently is some debate about it. And personally, I like the idea of the Packers winning the North, winning the division title again, but especially not going to Seattle. That's kind of paramount in my mind. What do you think? Was it a strategic benefit winning the division?
Of course it was. There was an article by Fox Sports this week, Chris Chase, who wrote that it might have been wiser to lose. So this hot take artist thinks it makes more sense to lose to the Lions on purpose so that you don't play the Giants at home, because apparently this dude has an irrational fear of Eli Constant Grimace Manning. And, you know, he's afraid to play at home as opposed to on the road against Seattle. That's ridiculous. First of all, you always play for the home game. You just do. It makes a lot more sense. But second of all, let's not pretend like Eli and the Giants are that much scarier than are so much scarier than Seattle. Look, Seattle hasn't been playing well, but just like the Giants, they've had the Packers number. And Seattle is not good on the road, but they're still good at home. That is a tough place to play. We've got to admit it. So to say that the Packers should not have won the game, I want to give this guy a wedgie and, you know, take his lunch money, because that's absolutely ridiculous.
I concur with that. James, what do you think?
First of all, when the opportunity arises to give somebody a wedgie, if they deserve it, I'm all over it. Let's do it. Second of all, that it's the stupidest thing I've read in a while, and I'm on Twitter a lot, so I see a lot of stupid stuff. But first of all, you have to beat who you have to beat to get to the Super Bowl. And to me, it's always been kind of silly to sit back and go, well, I'd rather have this team or that team in the first round. Well, you know, flashback a few years ago, and the Saints, who had a losing record and made it in the playoffs, beat the Seahawks at home, who won their division. It's any given Sunday. It really is. It's not like there's any massive advantages in the playoffs for any team at this point. It's all pretty equal playing field. So by saying, okay, I'd rather not play at Lambeau and go to Seattle, it makes zero sense. Who wants to do that? Somebody who wants to go to Pike's Place Market wants to do that. So this guy clearly likes salmon. That's his only motivation for this.
Maybe he's like a Starbucks originalist.
Maybe he is. He really, really, really enjoys grunge.
Now I'm kind of turning to his side, though.
I know. I'm kind of talking myself into this guy now. So, no, it's stupid. And I want to use his article for a birdcage that I don't own.
It's gonna be expensive.
Very good.
The bird.
Yeah, it is. I have to buy the bird and feed.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine wanting to go to Seattle for anything at all ever.
It's a beautiful city.
Wait a minute. That, and it's a great city. It's my favorite non-Wisconsin city in the world. Like, it's fantastic.
All right. I'll take your word for it. I've never been there. But... actually, I do have a friend who lives in Seattle. I guess
you have a friend?
I know. It's incredible, isn't it? Craziness. But anyways, we do have a very important question that we definitely need to address in all seriousness and importance. Will Aaron Ripkowski ever get his 100-yard rushing game? James, I'm going to throw that to you first.
You know, before this week, I wouldn't have said he would have got a 60-yard rushing game. So never say never. All it takes is for Ty Montgomery to screw up a protection again, I guess. Or was it? I don't know what he screwed up. He either screwed up a protection or a handoff, and he got benched for a while, and that's why Ripper got all the carries. But I don't think he will. To answer the question, he's a fullback, and fullbacks aren't meant to get 100 yards. They're meant to, you know, be awesome and sweet and fantastic and have great beards.
All right, Chris, your thoughts?
So, I just want to point out that John Kuhn has only surpassed Aaron Ripkowski's 61 yards 4 times in his career. And that's if you count his season-long statistics. So Aaron Ripkowski in one game better than John Kuhn in most seasons. The Ripper is here to stay. He is the new folk hero. And I mean, that was our chance. That was our chance on Sunday. 61 yards out of a fullback. When the hell does that happen? And I thought there was a chance he was going to get 100 yards. 61 yards is like 400 yards for a fullback. Will he ever do it? If we give him receiving yards too, he's going to do it someday. I still hold hope that one day, you know, McCarthy passes out on the sideline and the only play call that's in there is, you know, the Ripkowski dive. But I don't know that it's going to happen, but it made it fun to root for, that's for sure. And, you know, I've heard Rodgers saying how confident he feels when Ripkowski is back there. This guy, and as much fun and as many jokes as we've made, he's going to be an important part of this offense for a long time. He has stepped in where John Kuhn was, left, and Rodgers feels confident with him back there. That's what you need.
Yeah, I believe the exact Aaron Rodgers quote, if I heard it correctly after the game, was, you know, if Coach McCarthy says to me, okay, you can have one guy back there with you, I'm picking Ripper. And to me, you know how Aaron Rodgers gives compliments. It's not, you know, he's not Mr. Rodgers. He is Mr. Rodgers. But you know what I'm saying. He doesn't just throw him out there willy-nilly. And for him to invest that type of positivity into his fullback is pretty cool.
Cool. Well, I got to say, Ripper's 100-yard game, it's going to happen. I think actually in Canadian yards, he did have a 100-yard game. I think if you do the conversion, 61 yards in the NFL equals like 105 in the CFL.
That's loony.
That's some fuzzy math.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I do too. And it disgusts me. Anyway, we're about to go to break. We've got some interesting voicemails coming up for you. We got a kind of a bit of a surprise in the voicemails coming up. We got Twitter questions, all that good stuff. Before we go to break, though, we're going to throw to Chris to give you listeners a timely reminder about this here podcast.
So as we mentioned last week, we are kind of going independent after the season. It'll take place after the Packers, obviously, Super Bowl run is over. And what we will do is you will no longer be able to find us on the Packers Talk Network podcast feed. Now, we still have a great relationship with those guys. We hope to be on some of their shows. We'll have some of their hosts on ours. But after the end of the season, we will no longer be on that feed. So you'll find us on our own iTunes feed or wherever you get podcasts. And you can find us always on the website. But just a reminder, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll be recording all off season long. And in addition to that, we want to announce for the first time we're going public with our Patreon page. So Patreon is a way that, you know, listeners can fund podcasts and other enterprises. So the first thing I want to say is that nothing will change with the free content that you get now. You'll still get this show every week, whether you're a patron or not, no matter what. But Patreon allows you to pledge some money toward the podcast for every week to keep it running so that we can do some new fun things. And our first Patreon goal is to get to that $50 mark. If we get to $50 per episode, we will be issuing at least one bonus episode every month. So the way it works is Patreon asks you to donate as little as a dollar, as much as you'd like, and that donation will get you certain perks. So go on the website, go on www.patreon.com/TTSO. You can take a look at our goals. Again, that first real goal that we'd like is that $50 goal. When we get to $50, we'll release a bonus episode. It will be a bit uncensored, a little bit more fun and creative, and it'll be only for our patrons. So take a look when you get a chance. Log in there, become a patron. We'd really appreciate it. So that's it. Nothing will really change as far as the free content, but remember to subscribe. Remember to give us a rating on iTunes if you can, and we look forward to what this new year will bring. Thanks.
All right. On that note, we head into commercial. Stick around. We more Titletown Sound coming up right after this.
Bobbo here once again to tell you about What's the Score, the Sports News Quiz. If you haven't checked out their podcast yet, I'll give you an idea of what you're missing. What's the Score is a sports trivia show quizzing listeners and panelists alike on the sporting news of the week. And sometimes they have shows dedicated to a single topic, such as the Super Bowl, or Christmas, or highlight championships. Okay, maybe not highlight championships, but they're all fun and there are terrific people on the panel each and every week. Recent episodes have had Milwaukee Admirals announcer Aaron Sims, News Talk 1130's Dan O'Donnell, and WTMJ.com Preps Live announcer Barry Nelson. Even our own James Corsmo has been a panelist a few times. Their website? WTSSportsQuiz.com. Again, that's WTSSportsQuiz.com. So please check out What's the Score. They're friends of ours, and we think they would admit to being our friends too. And consider being a contestant on the show. It won't hurt, I promise.
Hey, Titletown Sound listeners. We appreciate you listening to us every week, and we have a question, a favor actually, to ask. Could you give us a rating? Look, does the podcast make your ears bleed? No? Good. And give us a rating on iTunes. It helps us so that people can find us easier, can search us, and our podcast shows up in the ratings. When you rate us and give us a review, it makes us more visible. And hey, don't you want others to have to suffer through this podcast just like you do? It's just a matter of time.
So really, I think Mexican wrestling could be better than American wrestling if we did that. I think we're all on the same page about that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. See.
That's interesting. Anyway, never mind that now. We're back to Titletown Sound. You just missed a riveting conversation here about Mexican wrestling. It's fantastic. I'm excited about that. But first, absolutely. But first things first, we got to talk us some tweets that you folks have sent in. We got a handful of tweets from you at Titletown Sound. Anytime you want to send us a message there, by all means, go for it. We know we're going to be a little tight on time, so we're just going to do a handful of them here. At Directing Titan tweeted at us, "My wife left me." James, your thoughts?
First of all, she's left him about 762,000 times, so he should be used to this by now. I feel bad for him. I do. Hey, Kev, if you're listening, tweet me up. We'll talk.
Chris, your thoughts?
I've been there, bro. Talked about it back in November, one of those episodes. We mentioned my ex-wife, so, you know, I feel you.
Absolutely. Another shout-out to Chris's ex-wife. Fight the power, or whatever. Our next tweet, at Britton Anderson, asked, how about the stellar performance Micah Hyde put on at corner? Chris, I'll throw that to you first.
How about the stellar performance that the entire secondary put together in the second half? When I mean, they were going to have to start bringing in like offensive players at some point. At some point, a wide receiver was going to have to play corner. It was that bad. So, you know, Micah Hyde, and he's been much maligned this year. He has not had a wonderful year. He's taken some criticism, but you know, he was that hybrid corner slash safety at one point. But yeah, I mean, he stepped up. The whole defense stepped up after it seemed like there was no. I mean, I don't know how they could stop any pass from being received at that point. Everyone was hurt. You know, it was just more impressive than I thought it could be.
James, your thoughts on Micah Hyde?
Yeah, I agree with Chris. The pass defense had zero business being as efficient as they were after everybody got hurt. It boggles my mind. I rewatched the game the day after, and I was just watching that whole time frame of the game, and I couldn't believe it. You know, Stafford didn't know what to do. I swear to God that having five safeties in the game playing dime really screwed with his head, and he didn't know how to handle that because his passes were off, and it was fantastic. And yes, to answer the question more pointedly, Micah Hyde played well the whole game. He was one of the three, I think, defensive the secondary members that actually played fairly decently. He, Morgan Burnett, and HaHa Clinton Dix all played pretty well. So, yeah, good for him. I'm a Micah Hyde fan. I have been forever. I read somewhere that he played 82 snaps. He played all defensive snaps and all the special team snaps. It's insane.
Well, that's nice work right there. I feel like somebody should be fired or disciplined or something for the Lions actually not passing the ball more effectively against the Packers after Rollins went down. Because, I mean, for goodness sakes, the three of us could have gone out there, I think, and at least gotten 100 passing yards as wide receivers, or even one of us as a quarterback. But whatever, Detroit lost.
I got a rag arm, so I don't know about that.
I don't run. Are there walking patterns? I'll do that.
We'll get Janice on those routes immediately. Anyway,
still sitting in the flat. Literally sitting.
Picking nothing's, dandelions.
Nothing's
where did he get
flat
those
about from? My routes, let me tell you.
And our final tweet for the week, at Shirley sees her. What can we do to tighten up zone coverage, as in not leaving that middle open, and what can we or should we do about Randall? And James, I'll throw that one to you first.
The answer to question number one is fire Dom Capers. And the answer to number two is I don't know. The middle of the field, it's all scheme. It's all scheme. And yes, he doesn't have the personnel, he being Capers, doesn't have the personnel to, he doesn't have that shutdown corner or anything like that. So he is handcuffed. But you can't tell me there's not something that can be done to shut down the middle of the field. It's become kind of a parody of itself at this point. It's everybody knows it's coming and they can't stop it. It's crazy. So yes, and I think Randall and Rollins, if he comes back, I'm hoping and I'm praying that they're just having Davante Adams year twos. Like, you know, Davante Adams came out last year after a decent rookie season and just was terrible. And I'm hoping that's their case and they'll bounce back next year like Davante has.
Yes, Chris, your thoughts?
At this point, you know, when you ask about what can you do to tighten up the secondary in any way, the answer is, I don't know, who's left? You know, the middle of the field has always been a weakness. It's going to continue to be a weakness because they just don't have the secondary right now. You know, injury-wise, I agree, you know, I don't care how well they've played. I still wouldn't be upset if Dom decided that he was going to retire in the offseason. What can they do? I don't know. They can hope that the Giants are worse in the middle of the field than they are. I did see a statistic. There was, you know, one of those advanced metrics today that showed that the Giants are really strong in the pass game against everyone except for the tight end. So look for Jared Cook to have a really big game this week. I think he's going to be a huge key. What can the Packers do? They can hope that they are opportunistic. That's it. They're going to give up huge yards. They got to hope that the ball bounces their way, that they get the interceptions, that when the opportunity presents itself, they actually hold on to him. That's how they beat the Giants. And they got to get the pass rush there. So the answer is they're not going to be able to tighten up the middle of the field. They're lucky if they have enough personnel to, you know, actually cover the entire field. So it's going to be it's going to be interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah, the more I honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, I think the answer to question one is the pass rush is going to have to get to Manning and get there quick. Because if you get to Manning, he does stupid, stupid things.
Oh, so. Yeah, and makes stupid-ass faces along with that.
And it's great. And he's so memeable. Like, he's just a walking meme. He's just a walking, big, foreheaded, slope-faced meme. And
that's a wonderful word, memeable. Is he the most memeable NFL player? I mean, now his brother is retired.
He might be now that Peyton's gone.
Interesting.
Can we copyright that? Is it copyrightable?
I don't think so. I mean, we could try.
Yeah, we'll check on that.
Yeah, we'll talk to our team of lawyers.
Yes, all one of them. If that.
Team of
wanted to give a shout out also to Christy Montgomery at KMontgo85, who helped us out with a little tidbit for the show this week. So shout out to you. And now it is time for the voicemails. Anytime you want to call the voicemails, in case Twitter's not enough for you, if you want to vocalize your joys, your frustrations, recipes that you want to pass on to us, pretty much anything at all, you can call us at 920-445-8876. Chris, I can hear you're tensing up already because you're afraid I'm going to say it. 920-HIKE TTSO?
Yes. It's not a thing.
It's lacking an E.
Well, yeah, but, you know, what can you do? We tried to add an extra number to the number, and they wouldn't let us. And then I cried, and Jeremy cried, and
we'll just Chris play the
laughed.
Voicemails and stop with your hike bowl. I almost said it.
I can, but I won't. Now I will. Here's our first voicemail. This is coming from Tennessee.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out that, first of all, on the Lions' first scoring drive, on first down within the red zone, it was delay of game. None of the refs called it. That could have prevented a touchdown.
James, your referees suck. Your thoughts?
All of them, all of the time. It's absolutely true. There was a lot of missed calls. I'm not one to blame the officials for anything ever, though. I feel like that's a cop-out most of the time. You know, the players should really dictate the outcome of the game. There are occasions where officials will affect it. I'm looking at you, Lance Easley, and your stupid face, and I hate that guy. Fail Mary, 2012, never forget. But other than that, it's the players that decide the games, even if the officials suck.
It's only illegal if you get called for it, right?
That's absolutely. That's in life and football. Everywhere, everywhere else. Marriages.
I'm not going to touch
that. I take that back. That's not true.
All right,
that's not
Chris.
True. Shout out to my ex. Totally fictional. Yeah, I saw that play. I know what he's talking about. The refs are, especially at home, are pretty liberal with that. They give you that extra kind of half a beat after the clock hits zero. But the bottom line is you got to stop them. You know, you got to stop them. Delay of game is different from like an offensive pass interference where they gain a strategic, you know, or a physical advantage on the field. So, yeah, I agree. It was probably a delay of game, but, you know, you get that call at home. We hope we get that call next week. You know, so there's that.
All right. Here is our next voicemail coming from Nebraska.
Hey, Tattletown Sound Crew. It's Brandon Olderback. Jeremy, we're not done with the whole pineapple on the pizza thing, buddy. We're still going to get that figured out at some point. Just want to let you know, win was really good. Rodgers did a great job again. No excuse. He shouldn't be the MVP, but it's going to be rough. You know, but luckily a home playoff game should be exciting. It'll be against the Giants, but I feel pretty confident we're going to do it if we can just get those cornerbacks healthy and, you know, just continue to dominate and do the best we can on the defensive line as well as, you know, the secondary. And also to, I forgot, I was going to do voices for you guys, so here they are.
Mike, I know you guys, we were talking in text messages before.
Yeah, we were talking about Scooby-Doo, and we decided to do that for you.
Mike, so continue the good work, and go, Pack, go.
Yeah, go, Pack, go.
Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
That's pretty good.
I don't know what to say to that.
Well, I have a question ready for this.
Sure.
Scooby-Doo and Shaggy, real Packer fans or posers? Chris, your thoughts.
That's a good question. So, I don't know. I mean, Shaggy did wear green constantly, right? That was his color. Other than that, I got nothing. But I think, I think they're. I would hashtag true fandom. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. James, your thoughts.
They are infiltrating the ranks until eventually the day comes where they're able to walk up to Ted Thompson and pull his mask off. And it's just an older Ted Thompson. And I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids. Also, I guarantee you that BJ Raji will come back if there's Scooby Snacks in the locker room.
Absolutely. As long as he dances when he finds them.
Oh, yeah. Daytona Jones will hang out with Shaggy any day, if you know what I'm saying.
Latroy Guyon will, too.
Yes, indeed. Wait, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, never mind. youthful bliss. We have another voicemail here. I don't know who this is from, but I guess we'll find out who this hoser is.
Hey, guys, it's Jeremy. Longtime co-host, first-time caller, at @TTSO_Jeremy. I am still around. I do still exist, and I am still alive. Thank you for those who are showing concern. I have gotten many flowers and boxes of chocolates, mostly from Lobby, which she ate because I think she thought they were advent calendars. Anyways, I wanted to talk about this Elliot Wolf deal with the Packers and possibly interviewing with the 49ers. I think it's very interesting to me that Elliot Wolf would possibly interview with the 49ers, especially if he's thinking he has an open job with the Green Bay Packers. And I was listening to WSSP today, and Sparky on the Big Show. WSSP is the big sports station in Milwaukee, and Sparky is on the late afternoon show. And he had a conspiracy theory, which is always the case. And his conspiracy theory is that Elliot Wolf is not the guy. He's not Mark Murphy's guy, and if he was, he wouldn't go interview for that job in San Francisco. Now, I bring this question to you because I can't discuss this with you on the show because I won't be on the show. So here's my question. Is it time for the Packers to make a decision on Ted Thompson? Not that they're going to fire him, but is it time, if they're going to lose Elliot Wolf, and Elliot Wolf is Mark Murphy's guy, is it time for Mark Murphy to say, okay, Ted, I need you to retire now? I think quite possibly that is where things are at, not because Ted needs to be fired, but because you don't want to lose your next guy. It's much like when Ted Thompson pushed Brett Favre out the door for Aaron Rodgers. Brett Favre could still win football games. He was very good. He was a guy that you would want to keep around, Hall of Fame quarterback, all that. But they wanted Aaron Rodgers to have his shot. So is it time for Elliot Wolf to get his shot? That's the question. I think it is. I think that it would be a travesty to watch Elliot Wolf go to San Francisco and turn that team into a winning franchise while the Green Bay Packers lose Ted Thompson and get a guy like, oh, I don't know, Mike Sherman to be GM? I don't know. Plug in any terrible name you can think of. What if that's the case? You don't want to lose Elliot Wolf and risk that happening. So I'll leave it at that. I'm sure there's going to be a long discussion, and I know that you guys missed me and my voice, so I'm glad that I could appease you all and call in.
Good to have Jeremy back in some way, and I'm glad he's gone now. But anyway, Chris, your thought... I'm kidding, of course. Chris, your thoughts on the Packers GM situation and Wolf interviewing in San Francisco?
First, shout out to our listener Jeremy there. Thanks for calling in. Second of all, you know, I don't think that you can read too much into the situation. The one thing I'll say is, like, you know, the fact that he interviewed doesn't mean that he doesn't want to be here, and it doesn't mean that Mark Murphy doesn't want him here. It means that he's got to be smart about his own career. Maybe he uses this as leverage with the Packers. Maybe he, you know, tries to parlay this into a quicker move with the Packers, because you can't, as an executive, you know, even in Wolf's position, you can't take a promise of a future job as a GM as anything other than a possibility. You know, if my boss told me, I will promote you in a year or you know, in 2 years, don't worry, I'll promote you, and then that job opens up in another company, I would be foolish not to speak with them. I'd be foolish, you know, and that's what he's doing. So I don't think we can read too much into what's going on here with him not being Murphy's guy or being Murphy's guy. You know, he's doing what he needs to do, and it may result in what I think it was Rappaport reported, that at the end of the year, it's likely that Ted Thompson steps down. Elliot Wolf becomes the GM, and Thompson becomes, like, you know, the director of scouting emeritus or whatever. That's also a very big possibility, but you can't draw too many conclusions from one interview.
All right, James, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree, just to a point. I'm of the thought that Elliot Wolf is just kind of trying to push things along. I really honestly, I can't imagine who on earth under any circumstances would want to go be the general manager of that team in San Francisco. It's such a train wreck. You'd be walking in there to just rubble. And
but see, that's where I disagree, because I think it gives Wolf a way to have his own situation. He's not under Ted Thompson's shadow, and he's building from nothing. So he's going to get time. It's going to be hard to be worse than what they've got now. So I think, and it is a legacy NFL franchise. So I think there are reasons you might.
Well, I mean, I see that point, but at the same time, just as it stands right now, they've gone through four coaches in 4 years and a couple of GMs, and it's so ugly. The owner, nobody likes him, and it's I don't know. Maybe he would, and I'm wrong. I personally just think he's using it as a catalyst to try to move the process along with Ted.
And I hope it worked.
I do too. I mean, because I don't honestly don't know who else would be up the pike. I don't know who Mark Murphy would pull out to replace Thompson, because Ted's deal's up next year, and I'm not thinking they're going to re-up it. He's old.
Well, I think the ideal situation is that this moves things along. They talk to Ted, they talk to Wolf, and they say, look, we will make you GM next year. Ted, we will put you in an advisory role. You'll work next, you know, right next to Elliot. We might even throw you a couple more bucks, you know, and you stay on for the year. You help the transition. Elliot, you come in, you know, you'll have Ted to assist you with this draft, and then it's your team after that. That, I think that would be a nice ideal type of transition that would be perfect for the kind of continuity that you want in a team.
Yeah, I could see that. I just want Elliot Wolf to be our GM, and I hope whatever happens that's the ending of all this.
All right. Well, yeah, the GM debate will continue on at least through the rest of this season, and then Hopefully, after the Packers win the Super Bowl, we'll finally have a solution to what's going on with that.
Packers win the Super Bowl, Ted can stay for 10 more years if he wants. That's fine.
Fair enough. Now it is time to go to Papa K's Nuggets of Wisdom. Oh, Papa K, what wise and sage words do you have for us this week?
And now it's time for...
No one comes into this house without...
Papa K's Nuggets of Wisdom.
Hi, this is Bill Kostofko, calling after the Packers' exciting 31-24 win over the Detroit Lions to win the NFC North. I've been a Packer fan since 1957, and I'll have to say that this six-game stretch has been as exciting a football that the Packers have played in as clutch that I've seen in my years following this team. This is especially impressive considering that in the four-game losing streak, Packers were outscored 153-107. That's an amazing 38 points allowed per game. But for the full context of it, look on the Packers site and look at all those W's that followed. That is really impressive. And against the opponents that the Packers beat. And again, I'm going to give kudos to Mike McCarthy and his staff. I know some on the podcast are not quite as sold on the Packer coach as maybe I am, but to win six in a row at the end of the season is amazing. Contrast that with Jay Gruden and Washington Redskins. They lost four of their last six games to choke away an almost sure playoff berth. They showed up against the New York Giants, a team that had nothing to play for, but went out, fielded their starters, and tried to win. The Redskins were called flat, unprepared, lifeless, and uninspired by fans and the media. You certainly can't say that about the Packers during this six-game stretch. Sure, they had their bumps before that, but a lot of this has to be ascribed to injuries and upheaval in the defensive backfield. I think we absolutely have to give credit to McCarthy for staying the course, as Aaron Rodgers said, for getting the players ready to come in, the Micah Hydes to come in to play cornerback, and the other changes that had to be made in the defensive backfield. My hat's off to this coaching staff. I think they've done a great job, and I think they have this team headed for an interesting playoff run. Certainly have no idea how far they'll go, but I really like the direction that this team is taking and the fight that this team is showing. One last thing. It's really fun to watch when a team makes a playoff run. Players who seemingly come out of nowhere to provide help for the superstars, the Aaron Rodgerses of the team. Micah Hyde, who broke up the potential tying touchdown pass against the Bears and who had a key interception last night. Geronimo Allison, who looks like he may well be a keeper, who seems to know where Rodgers wants him to be and to be there. A man who is tall, rangy, might not be the fastest man, but he certainly seems to be getting the job done and just getting better. With Darius Gunter, who certainly seems to fly under the radar as now the Packers' number one corner. He'll be tested by Odell Beckham Jr. this week. But certainly give this man props, this undrafted free agent who has come on strong, and we have to give coaching certainly credit for that. Jared Cook, now he may not be an unsung kind of player, but he's certainly the kind of player that the Packers need to open up the middle of the field. He's been clutch during this run. I think he's going to play an important part in however far the Packers get in the playoffs. Aaron Ripkowski, certainly a favorite of the podcast. Love his attitude. Love how he bowls over defenders. Love how he goes for every foot that he can get on the field, and certainly a good blocker. Also, guys like Marwin Evans on special teams, he and Kentrell Bryce are liable to play important roles with all the injuries in the defensive backfield as the Packers enter the playoffs. So it's on to the New York Football Giants this Sunday. I really like where this team is heading. Who knows if they'll win or not, but I certainly like what I'm seeing and hearing from this team. And who knows? Congratulations to Aaron Rodgers. He was right. This team could run the table, and we'll see how much farther they can go. Go Pack, go. Good night.
All right. And Chris, as usual, I will ask your thoughts on your dad's comments.
It's nice to see the old man finally coming around on the Ripper. I believe this is the first Aaron Ripkowski reference in Papa K's Nuggets of Wisdom. It's about time, that he recognized the greatness. I think he makes a good point, though, that this team has relied on players to step up, and more than we would ever have thought would be necessary, especially on defense. You got to give credit to coaching, absolutely. You got to give credit, as much as we've talked about how we want to see Elliott Wolf. You got to give credit to Ted Thompson for finding these gems that have been able to sustain an NFL team when their entire secondary has been injured. I think the best thing that you can say about this team is it's a team on the rise, and it's a team that is playing as a team. You know, they seem to really be unified. They seem to really be together, something that we thought was the problem earlier in the year. They weren't together. They weren't unified. They didn't seem to be fighting for any sort of common cause. This is definitely a team where, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, or whatever the hell that saying is. And they're playing really well. And they're playing really well with, you know, holding their defense together with masking tape and bubblegum because those players are stepping up. I mean, let's go back to the offense for a second. Geronimo Allison, man, he's a revelation. Like, Jeff Janis cries every time Geronimo Allison catches a pass because he realizes it means that he's a career special teamer as long as that career is with the Packers. Allison has stepped up and shown that not only is he capable, but that he's gotten Rodgers' trust. He's where he needs to be, and he's shorthanded. He's exciting for the future. So, yeah, I agree. There's a lot of guys who have stepped up, and that's what this team needs, and they have to keep stepping up based on what we saw, you know, injury-wise last week.
James, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Papa K brings it as always, man. He's my papa, too, whether he wants to be or not. He's right, hit the nail right on the head. The team is showing a side of them that we were all screaming for weeks 3, 4, 5, you know. Remember early in the season when we had that, I forget who it was against, but they came out and it was uninspired and they just kind of looked like they were going through the motions. And even after the game, Aaron Rodgers was ragging on everybody saying, why are we playing like this? We're so flat. I don't know what's going on. That's not there anymore.
Tennessee? It might have been Tennessee.
I mean, we sure did. And we get, not only did we lose to Tennessee, we got killed by Tennessee. That's not there anymore. And they're showing the hallmarks of a successful team, which are improving and getting better and learning from their mistakes. And I think that's something that to be valued, and I'm excited to see where it leads. And as Papa K touched on, Jared Cook has been a huge addition to this team. He may not get 1,000 yards or, you know, 10 catches a game, but he's Aaron's go-to third down guy now, which is extremely important. And he's making a mark. And he said this week that he's never been this happy playing for a team before, and his first playoffs in 8 years, and he wants to come back. And I would love to have him back too. So I think I like where this team's headed.
And I also think that with Cook, he's going to have a big game this week. I think he's going to be one of the keys to beating the Giants. And I'm excited to see what he can do when he has a full healthy year. So I really do hope they bring him back.
Yeah, I'm, of course, a big Jared Cook fan, so I would love nothing more than to see a big game out of him and see him used quite a bit in the offense this week. And now that we have heard the wisdom from Papa K, it's time to descend into a little bit more ridiculousness in true-false. James, buddy,
yes, sir. Yeah.
Pal, friend,
yeah.
Chum of mine.
How do you think
you did last week?
I was thinking about this immediately after the game, and I feel like I might have did okay.
How do you think our buddy Jeremy did?
Well, maybe better than me? I don't know.
Actually, you guys both got 4 out of 5 correct last week.
Nice.
So, I'm afraid James is pretty well run off with the true-false title, at least for the regular season. Chris, you got 2 correct last week. I got 3. So the current standings through 77 true-false questions. James has got 45 correct and is the only one of us over 500. Jeremy
the
at 30.
You listen to for your Packers analysis.
Yeah,
and I want to point out again for the listener, Bobo creates the questions. He has a little bit of it, and still, well, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Jeremy was in second with 36 correct. Chris, you got third with 34, and I, of course, bringing up the rear because I know my role. I've got 33 correct through the season. So as we go into the postseason, I think it's only fair I will answer first this week.
Well, let me ask you. So the postseason, the points are tripled, right? That's how it works. It's like, isn't it like the like the Family Feud where nothing matters for the first 9 rounds?
Yeah, if I'm gonna win that way, then yes, that's the way we'll do it. So, all right, we got a little trickeration in here this week too. So we'll see when we get to that. True, false, number one, Aaron Rodgers passes for at least 330 yards. Rodgers is 7th in the league in passing yards per game at 276.8. He has averaged 323.5 yards over the last 2 weeks. The Giants, the 10th worst in the league against the pass, allowing 251.1 passing yards per game. They only allowed 259 yards in the first meeting against Green Bay, and they have allowed just under 300 on average over the last 3 weeks. So they're giving up a little bit through the air. So Aaron Rodgers passes for at least 330 yards. I am going to say true, and Chris, you get to go next.
That is a huge number. I think he's going to have a good day, but I think that is... I mean, look, if he has, if the answer... If you're right and it's true, the Packers win. So that's fantastic. I think the Packers still win, but I think it's false.
All right. James, what say you?
Yeah, I have to agree with Chris on this one. That's a lot, man. 330, that's false.
All right. You guys should like true, false number two. Eli Manning throws for at least 330 yards. Green Bay is tied for second worst against the pass, allowing 269.2 yards per game through the air. Eli Manning is 17th in the league in pass yards per game at 251.7. He only had 199 yards in the first matchup back in Week 5. He has averaged 268 over the last 2 weeks. And I got teams averaging 363.6 over the last 3 weeks, and I believe that's from the Packers defense. 363-plus yards allowed on average over the last 3 weeks. That's what that is. Eli Manning throws for at least 330 yards. I am saying true to that one as well. Chris, how about you?
Again, that's a really big number. I mean, Eli's going to have a good day, but I'm going to say that's a little high. False.
All right, James?
Yeah, I'm going to say false too. I don't see that happening. This is a difficult one because the Packers' pass defense is so bad, yardage wise. But it's Eli Manning, and no, I can't. I don't think he can count to 330. No.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm for the record. I'm expecting a 700 point ball game on Sunday. So, just putting that out there. Number three, Aaron Ripkowski rushes for at least 40 yards. The Ripper has rushed for 150 yards this season, 61, of course, coming last week against Detroit. He is averaging 4.4 yards per carry. The Giants are tied for third best against the run, allowing 88.6 rush yards per game. And if you're curious, Green Bay currently ranked 8th in that department. So the Ripper rushes for at least 40 yards. I am going to say false. Chris, how about you?
That's a big number. I love Aaron Ripkowski, and I hate to say false, but I have to. He's not going to even approach that. He's going to have a big day opening up some holes for Ty Montgomery, but it's not going to be 40.
All right, James?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen 2 weeks in a row. You know McCarthy. He's not going to pull that cat out of the bag that 2 weeks in a row. So, no, he'll be awesome, and he'll make some good blocks, and he'll probably catch a pass or two, but no.
So McCarthy's going to keep a cat in a bag? That doesn't sound nice.
Meow.
Well played. True, false, number four. Eli Manning throws at least 2 interceptions. Manning threw 16 picks in 16 games. It's pretty good. Averages 1 interception for every 37-ish passes. It's like 37.3 something or whatever. Green Bay tied for 4th in the league in interceptions with 17. So again, Eli Manning throws at least 2 interceptions. So it really comes down to how optimistic are you the Packers are going to win. I think that's what it comes down to. I will say true, He throws at least two interceptions. Chris, what do you say?
Yeah, I'm going to say true. And I'm going to say that those interceptions go to HaHa Clinton Dix and the aforementioned Micah Hyde. And it's a joyous occasion. And yeah, true.
All right, James.
I can't buy it at this point. I don't even know who's going to be out there playing for us. They could have Aaron Ripkowski's dad out there. I don't know.
Ripper dad.
That could be a good
rad. It could be a good thing. I'm going to go ahead and false. I've been watching them, and I still, the only reason they're that high in the league for interceptions is because of Russell Wilson. So, yeah, no, it's not happening.
All right. True, false, number five. I'm going to put a conditional tag on this one because we don't know whether Randall Cobb is going to play Sunday or not. So I'm going to give you guys basically two questions here. Only one of them is actually going to count toward true, false. If Randall Cobb is inactive, does not play, Geronimo Allison pulls in at least 100 yards receiving. If Randall Cobb is active, the statement will be Geronimo Allison pulls in at least 40 yards receiving. Allison has pulled in 157 yards receiving over the last 2 weeks. Randall Cobb comes back, could limit Allison's playing time, but Allison and Rodgers do seem to have a nice connection going, so maybe they'll find a way to keep him out on the field regardless. So again, if Cobb is inactive, Allison pulling in at least 100 yards receiving. If Cobb is active, Allison pulls in at least 40 yards receiving, and you can give me two different answers for this, one for each condition. So I'm going to say true either way. Chris, how about you?
No, hold on. Carry the one.
Get your calculator.
X equals Y. I'm going to go with false for both of them. 100 is way too much, and even 40 is a lot, especially because the Giants' pass defense, their corners are pretty decent. It's not going to be that high.
All right, James.
I
told you there would be math. I told you there would be math before the show.
You warned me. I still wasn't prepared. My abacus is missing a marble. I'm gonna have to go with false for both. I feel like I might have just said false for every single true false question this week, which is weird, but false.
I believe you did. So, all right. So you guys agreed on a lot this week. I tried to up the ante on it, and it didn't work out for me. Of course, we will get Jeremy's answers on those before the game. But now, it's time to move on to the segment that we call Spread 'Em.
All right, hands on the hood. And spread them.
Bovada.lv, as of Tuesday night, had Green Bay as 4.5-point favorites. So if you're picking Green Bay and spread them, you believe the Packers will win by 5 points or more. If you pick the Giants, you believe the Giants will win, tie, or that they will lose by 4 points or less. So, Chris, I will throw it to you first. We had, by the way, a three-way tie for the Spread'Em Championship between the three of us. Woo! Because we all picked Green Bay last week. So.
Well, we still go, right? We play the postseason, so we got to...
Absolutely. And, yeah, Jeremy was only one behind, and I think Twitter actually got it right last week, so they're up to, like, three wins. Yeah. So, by all means, go to the Twitter poll when that's up on @TitletownSound on Twitter and participate yourself. And tell us why you're so much smarter than everybody else who's picking the wrong way. But anyway, Chris, Packers 4.5-point favorites. Which way are you going?
I can't stop now. I will be optimistic and take the Packers. I think this has the potential for one of those like Atlanta-style 2010 blowout wins where this team finally like fully comes into its own and just walks all over Eli Manning and his sad, grimacing face.
Can we just call him Grimace from now on?
You can, sure.
And there might be a trademark on that. There might be a trademark on that. You're going to want to check into that.
Nah. Don't worry, Wall. Who cares?
I'll check with our lawyer. James, what say you?
I'm going to take Green Bay. I don't think it's going to be an Atlanta type game. Our pass defense just, man, they're one hair away from giving up a ton of points. But I think Green Bay is going to, I like their momentum. So I'm going Green Bay.
All right. I am going to go the other way this week and go with the Giants. Just because. Not saying I'm picking them to win, just picking them for spread them. Take what you will from that. And on that note, we have hit the end of the show once again. Please remember to go to TitletownSoundOff.com and check out the articles we got on there every week. And James always puts out the quick slants, always a good read. And I'm forgetting article names. Help me out here. What else we got? What we learned and...
Yeah, what we learned. Breakdown every week as well as we're going to probably start putting up our sound off segment as either an audio post or a blog post every week. I just said that, and now I've got to do it because I'm like four beers deep. But yeah, we'll do that at some point.
All right. And Twitter, we are at Titletown Sound. If you want to tweet us individually or even follow us individually, I don't know why you'd want to follow me, but I'm at That's Our Bobo, 3 B's, 2 O's, because there's just one Bobo. James, your Twitter is?
At JKSub20.
And Chris, your Twitter is?
At TTSO_Chris.
And our buddy Jeremy is at TTSO_Jeremy. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, you ask every week.
Alrighty. And again, our voicemail number, area code 920-445-8876 or 920-445-TTSO.
Nice.
Just that one time. I'm doing that for you.
It's the anticipation that kills me every time.
Hashtag drama. TTSO, we know drama. And one more time, of course, we are going to be doing our own thing. We got a Patreon account now. Chris, do you want to mention that one more time just because I can't remember the details of it?
Yeah, it's patreon.com/TTSO. That'll give you the opportunity to become a patron, you know, to donate, which will get you some benefits, some extra content, some... it's going to be a cool experience. We're really going to do a lot as we go forward. You know, at one point there's a patron level that will get you as a guest spot on the show, a patron level that's going to get you a t-shirt, a patron level that'll get you Baba will come and clean your pool. So there's a lot that'll really, you know, if you want to get involved and help this show grow, we'd appreciate it.
I believe it was Baba plays pool with you. That's what I understood. I know I got to start reading these contracts. Dang it. All right. Well, anyway, James, anything you want to say before we sign off?
I'd like to say thank you to everybody for listening and reading our stuff. I'd like to say, Aaron Ripkowski, thank you for not giving me a restraining order yet. I'm fairly confident he doesn't check his Twitter very often because I'd be subpoenaed, I think. yeah, that's all I got. Hopefully Sunday is a fun day.
Very good. Chris? Final words.
Sunday is my fun day.
What about Monday?
It's just another manic Monday, generally. I would like to say good night, Prince Janice, and good morning, King Geronimo.
Yes. Oh, very nice. I like that.
Let's hope that becomes a thing.
Let's keep that.
I should go with Chief on that one.
Yes. Oh. And, of course, don't forget to pet your cat. And I don't, it's insane.
It's
that
got
every
weird.
Episode. So, yeah. All right, that's it. We're going away now. Tune in next week, episode 93 of the show. Find out which Packer we're going to name the episode after. And hopefully we'll have another Packer victory to talk about.
We will.
Goodbye. We will. Bye, everybody. We're... Goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Go, hey, go! Son of a bitch! Give me a drink. One of the night. But it's camping me. Son of a bitch! If I drink it clean, I'm gonna drink my life away.
The preceding podcast was a production of Productions Institute, LLC, copyright 2017, all rights reserved.
Oh!
out for 17 years. I've been going in back. 17 more will bury me. And somebody please just tie me down. Oh, somebody give me a goddamn drink. Son of a bitch! My heart is breaking, hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. My heart is breaking, hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. My heart is breaking, hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. My heart is aching. My hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. Son of a bitch!